Hello, this is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
Now, Lord, we're here this morning, and we're desirous that you be praised and our Lord Jesus be uplifted and receive blessing. Let me together be blessed as we study your precious word and as we now are blessing these tracts. We desire so much, Father, that the tracts that are attractive to this generation. And they're asking the question, are you a good person? And our Father, they show clearly how far we are, far short, how we have messed up, and what the answer is through our Lord Jesus. Give us wisdom as we give them out. May you direct us in what we say, where we place them. And we do expect, Father, that your word will not return void, and that we might hear, and that people have been blessed and helped. Once again, we are grateful for the time together this morning. It's time to pray over these tracts, asking your blessing upon not only tracts, but each of us here this morning, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, having blessed those 300 tracts, and let's now enter into worship. The subject this morning is Friends of Jesus. We're in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, and the hymn that I think that more or less portrays this whole thing is hymn number 432, Jesus, What a Friend for Sinners. 432, will you sing it with me, please?
Jesus, what a friend for sinners.
Save.
turn the page to 433 on the subject, Friends of Jesus. I have found a friend, oh, such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. 433. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Gospel of John, chapter 15. And I'd like us to read this passage, verses 12 through 17. These are farewell words to the Lord's disciples before he goes to the cross. And he's made some radical changes. And so I'd like us to stand and to read Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 12 through 17 together. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. This is the word of God. Please be seated. Let's sing another hymn. And the hymn is, Jesus is all the world to me. It's 664.
When I
Please turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. I want us to consider the subject this morning on that friends of Jesus. Friends of Jesus. He's our friend, but are we friends of His? Is there friendlessness in your life? Loneliness? Most people will tell you that there is. So, what do we have here? If you open your Bibles, please, you'll see that this chapter 15, which is a great chapter, has caused some confusion because if you don't get the context of it, you'll get confused with it. The subject is that the Lord Jesus compares Himself to the vine. He is the roots. He's the roots. So, and as this vine grows, it produces branches. That's what you are if you're a Christian. And there's pruning. Don't think there's not some pruning done so that there be more fruit. And that's a subject that's worth listening to. And then it says about the need for the branches to bear fruit and preferably a lot of fruit. So contextually, you got the idea of the Lord saying, I'm going to the cross. They don't understand it. And He said, but I want you to know, though I am going to the cross, there still can be an intimate relationship with me, a living relationship as it is in the vine. I'm the roots, you're the branches, and you're to produce fruit. Now we can have a close, personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a great chapter. It really is. Now in this chapter, there are some distinctive characteristics of having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. Say, well, I'm a Christian. Wait a minute. I'll put you on a test. Do you have the distinctive characteristics of being a real Christian as the Lord Jesus speaks about it to us? There are some distinguishing characteristics here. And I think all of us should say, I'm going to listen. I'm going to see whether I fit in and I have the distinctive characteristic of a person who is really a genuine Christian. So says the Lord Jesus. Now, hopefully that you see the need for a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. We'll come to this passage. Passages verses 12 and 13, they have a particular evidence that you are one of His. What is it? That He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another. What? That you love one another, as I've loved you. Oh, wow. I think He sacrificed His life on the cross. Christians, we are sometimes not very lovely. And let's face it, we have really screwed up a lot of times as being a Christian. Are we going to flunk this test? You know, when He talks about a Christian, there's a verse that helps me. And that is, love covers a multitude of sins. And so, you screw up, and you will, and you have. If you don't believe it, let magically take all the thoughts that you've had in the last 24 hours. Let's put it up here on the screen. See how you look. That's what this track says. That's embarrassing. No. No, you've not walked on water, neither have I. But love does cover a multitude of sins, and you know He loves us even while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us even while we were yet sinners, and that is wonderful news. And so this matter of loving one another, the verse 12 and 13 says, that in verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Say, well, I think I pass. No, hold on a minute. Hold on. You see, this loving one another means that we are to be knit together. And I think that you need to see that. You know, you can say what you want to. You may be impressed as an American. Everything that's big, it's got to be good. Man, that is success when there's bigness. But the Lord speaks much about smallness. And look what he chose for his disciples. Not intellectuals as such. But nevertheless, this matter of loving one another. This matter of small groups. And you know, let's brag upon it. I turn on channel 16, they brag about they're the best station, best channel on the TV. If I say something about the church, this is the best church in the area, you'd say, man, come on. And I'm saying to you, there's value in small groups. We can know one another. You say, well, I don't know how comfortable that is. But we can share one another's problems and sorrows. And hey, really, I do believe that and we can pray for one another and we can have sweet fellowship together. But you have to determine in your heart, and so does the preacher, that we're going to be friends. It just doesn't come automatically. Because you got a background. You may be a city folk. I may be a country folk. It's like, see how a city and country folk get together? By through Christ. Look at verse 12. In fact, the matter is, I believe in a sense, is that 13th chapter of John. And in that, 35th verse. How about that? That's what the world's looking at us. And that is the Lord Jesus, he says, get to verse 34. He said, a new commandment I give you. We're hearing about that this morning in the 15th chapter, that you love one another as I've loved you, that ye also love one another. And verse 35, mark this down in your hearing this morning. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if, see that word if? If ye have love one to another. Got to work at it. I've often said you got to work at marriage. You got to work at friendship too. It just doesn't come automatically. Well, I'm here. You can love me, can't you? No, wait a minute. Do you pray? You pray for this service. You pray for one another as throughout the week when you come to mind, you say, "Well, yeah, Brother Bill needs some prayer. I'm going to pray for him," or Sister so and so. I've been thinking about it, I'll pray for them. And so this evidence of love. We can be critical of one another. It's easier to do that. I can be more critical about you than really love you. Oh, yeah. I'd say, Brother so-and-so, he screwed up and so-and-so, and things aren't going this way. Talk about one another. Come on. That's not love, being critical of one another. I mean, you can do that more than love one another, being critically about one another. No, come on. Look at that verse. What verses? Verse 12 and 13. I command you. Well, I can do it. No, if you're a Christian, it's a command. It's the Lord Jesus' command, verse 12. And he's God. God says, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. Now, I must tell you a little bit about grammar. Grammar and I never had a lot of friendship, but it's true. It is in the present tense. Well, I don't care. Yeah, now, listen, you do care. This verse is saying that this is to be a continued thing. I can say, like a man said, why should I have to tell my wife I love her? I told her that, 40 years ago I loved her. Now why do I have to keep telling her? This is the present tense. We need to keep loving one another. And that's exactly what it said. This is my command that you be continually loving one another. Whoa. One another, that means people of like persuasion. I hope we're of like persuasion. We may not agree on everything, but we can agree upon Christ and as Savior and a lot of other things, can't we? And it says that's what it really means. One another means one of similar ideas and philosophies. Now, I've said this. I go along with the Westminster Confession of Faith of this. They make it very particular about marrying. And they say, you better marry someone that agrees with you. Oh, well, generally, we know the Lord. No. Right down the pike. You say, well, where am I going to find somebody that agrees with me? Generally, right down the pike, the degree. Because if you don't, your marriage is going to have problems. And that's what this means in verse 12. One another means love one another, and that is people basically of the same, knowing the Lord personally, intimately, know the Christ, and trying to be friendly to one another, and basically having the same philosophy, theologically included. So we ought to bond. You know, here, bonding. We need to be bonding together, having the same hopes, having the same dreams. How are you doing? Well, you know, really? Let's talk about it. Nice to have somebody you can talk about things. You know, I'm looking at some of you folk that are married. And if you haven't learned how to talk over things, your marriage is not going very well. She's got to be your best friend, fellas. And gals, he's got to be your best friend. And you need to talk over things. Don't give me some marriage talk. Why not? The Bible speaks about it along the same line. We looked at that passage. In case you think I'm just picking up something, just to say something, look at Ephesians in case you don't think that it's connected with the passage. What? Ephesians 5. So, but look what the Lord Jesus said about it, fellas. And you say, oh, well, come on. How about it? Verse 25, Ephesians 5. It says, husbands. This is the Lord speaking by His Spirit. Husband, love your wives. Well, how? Even as Christ also loved the church. Well, how did He love the church? It says that He gave Himself for it. A sacrificial love. Might as well quit, hadn't we, fellas? Sacrificial love for our wives. And that's reciprocal. Wives. In case you think you're left off of the hook. That's reciprocal love. Oh my. You say, I don't think it's a big deal. You don't. I'd like you to go down to the bottom of the page of the 15th chapter of John, in case you don't think it's a big deal. And I start to read a couple of verses here beyond verse 17. I'll start at verse 18 and get this about this matter, how we need to love one another. Why? Well, he talks about love, but here now, in these closing words, basically, he talks about hate, love and hate. Well, I don't want to hear about hate. Well, here's what the Lord says. In His farewell message, He said, you know the world hate you. If the world hate you, you know that it hated Me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world, what? The world will hate you. Don't you see, brethren, we need to love one another. The world's not going to love you. Say, oh, they give me a big smile and I come into business in the bank and they smile and the politicians smile. But you listen to the Lord Jesus. You're not going to find real friendship in the world if you're a Christian. Because if you're a Christian, you say, there's something about you I just don't like. I have people tell me right to my face that they didn't like me. Well, say, well, I wear deodorants and I brush my teeth. But and he said, I just don't care. Well, I don't know why you're so ugly. Well, keep on reading a little bit. He said, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than the Lord. If they have persecuted Me, they will also persecute you. If they have not kept My saying, they will not. They will. If they have kept My saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for My name's sake, because they know not Him that sent Me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth Me hateth My Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned, but now have they both seen and hated Me, both and Me and My Father. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated Me without a cause. Now why do I bring in the hate? I bring in hate to show you the contrast. If you want real love, then look for people who are of a like understanding about the Lord Jesus. And the way I'd say, you better just look around at his church instead of trying to look out there in the world. Say, well, I have some friends that, yeah, wonderful. I want you to have friends out there and be friendly. A man who knows the friend of friends is going to be friendly. And then the Bible says that we are to be friendly. But there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and I like that. And speaking about blood brothers. Now, blood brothers can fight. Sure, they can fight. But I want to tell you something. You go messing around with blood brothers, and you may get in trouble, especially if you really get forthright with brothers. You may find out, even though they have disagreed, that when it comes down to blood brothers, they'll fight for one another. Just be careful. And the same with Christians. Blood brothers, because Christ shed his blood at the cross of Calvary, we ought to recognize that we're blood brethren, and we ought to really love one another. And use an example. There's a brother that sticketh closer. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That is the Lord Jesus. But he uses the term blood brothers there in the Greek. So what am I saying? I'm saying the evidence that we are friends of the Lord Jesus, we obey his commandment, and that we love one another. Period. In spite of our faults and our blemishes and our dumbnesses. I like that illustration of the Scottish mom. And for some reason or other, she was out and a snowstorm came up and it was really bad. And she didn't have enough of clothes on like she should have. And a baby wasn't dressed right. You say, well, what's the matter with the mother? It might have been the matter they didn't have the money. She might not have had the money to buy all those wonderful clothes that babies get today so they keep warm. And then she got lost in the snow, blinding snow. You know the rest of the story, don't you? She took off her clothes to keep the baby warm. True story? Yes. Scottish history. Yep. She took off her clothes and put it around the baby. What happened? Well, hypothermia. I experienced that once in hunting. That is something. You get sleepy. I mean, you get sleepy. I was glad a drive came through, and there I was on my knees. You thought I was praying, but I was so cold. I bent over to keep warm, and I got drowsy. And this drive came through, not of our group, and I heard somebody, and I had enough of reasoning to look up and hear these fellows. I was glad they came. Hypothermia is a very dangerous thing. So, the mother, she took all the clothes and she had put all around her baby and she died. And when they found the baby was alive. Now, wouldn't that be something to talk about historically? And that's the kind of love. Look at this. I'm still in John 15. Greater love, verse 13, hath no man or no person than this, that a person would lay down his life or her life for his friends. I also read about a grandfather. Yeah. Want some illustration? Give you an illustration of a grandfather. Another one. And he and the grandson went fishing. Little guy. And so they were fishing. And the situation, you know, water can suddenly become rather uneasy to be out in. Throw the boat all around. Well, the long story short, he couldn't swim and the little guy couldn't swim. Little guy fell out of the boat. Well, what's Grandpa going to do? He jumped in. They found them both drowned. But I want to tell you something. His arms were right around his grandson when they pulled him out of the water. Greater love hath no man than this, than a person laid down his life for his friends. Tell me if he loved his grandson. You know, we start this passage in verse 12. What does verse 17 say? Well, it looks like almost the same repeat. He said, I am repeating it. Verse 12 says, this is my commandment, Lord Jesus, that you love one another as I've loved you. All right, verse 17. These things I command you, that you love one another. It's not an optional. When you buy a new car, you say, well, I'd like to have this on and I'd like to have this. No, no. There's no optional here. This is not optional. Say, well, I don't have to go along with that. You don't? Well, then look at verse 14. He says, you are my friends. The evidence Oh, I don't think I'm going to go that route. Listen, verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You go around saying you're a Christian. Well, you just better look at verse 14. And that is, if you're really evidence that you really know the Lord in an intimate, personal, mystical way, then he said, you do whatsoever I command you. Wow. Yeah. Do you love me? Little guy says to me, I love you, Pappy. You do? How much? Whole lot. Much. How much? Show me. This much. Big hug. You love the Lord? Oh, I love the Lord for what he did to me. Then listen. You listen to what he tells you. I was reading chapter 10 of Hebrews, and there's some relevance. It's not a cross reference, but there's some relevance. And I thought, wow, that is really something. And I'm going to take the time to read it. I'm going to start reading in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and see whether you can't figure out some of these words about obeying the Lord. Now, I'll start to read. Well, I don't know what passage I start to read and left off on, but I'll start to read about verse 15 of the 10th chapter of Hebrews. Here we go. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws. What are you going to do, Lord? I'm going to put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Boy, that's wonderful. The Lord, that's forgiveness. Now, verse 18. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. And I want to, I interject things, but that's why I can't go along with the masses at the Roman Catholic churches. He died once for our sins. But the Roman Catholics, inasmuch as I love them, as much because they have souls, they believe that they crucify Christ over and over again in their mass. That's no small detail, that there's one individual between the Lord and God. One mediator between God and man. There, I got it. All right, where were you? I was down here, verse 17 of Hebrews 10. Now, where the remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let's draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to do good works, not forsaking the assembling ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. And so there's a certain fearful looking for of judgment and a fiery indignation which should devour the adversaries. Friends, I think I'll stop there. But it says this much to me. There's real forgiveness in Christ. And he says, I have some things I expect of you. We'll get to that in a moment. And he said, I expect you to obey my word. And I expect you, and I'm going to put it in there just as I believe it. I believe that if the word of God is preached, you ought to come and hear it as much as you can. Because you need to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We need to grow. We need to be knitted together. We need to love our Lord the more. And there ought to be more friendliness as far as we're as being friends of Jesus, and also he is our friend, but we ought to be friend of each other. But notice, back in verse 14, something proves that whether we're genuine or not. John 15 and verse 14, he said, listen, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Actions indicates reality and your state. Yes, sir? Now, here again, we have this present tense that we have in the Greek. And so what do I care? It means that we continue, continually. He said, the proof that you're my friends, if you continually do what I command you. And inaction shows us that our love isn't where it ought to be. See, what do you love to do? Well, I don't know. Love to hunt. Okay. How much effort do you put towards that? Well, don't tell the little wife, but it costs quite a bit of money. And do you think about it much? Oh, indeed. Think about it a lot. Am I speaking for myself? No, not now. But it is one of the things I did enjoy doing is hunting. So you spend a lot of time and effort and study, money, and all those things because you love that particular hobby. That's something. How does that apply to the Scripture? Well, if that verse 14 means anything, you say, well, I love the Lord Jesus. Oh, you do? Well, let's prove it. Well, I do everything he commands me, and I give my whole heart, body, and soul to the Lord. Lock, stock, and barrel, he paid it on the cross for my sins, and I'm his and he is mine. 100%. Boy, that puts all hobbies in a backseat, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. But we need to listen to these things. And it has the idea of commitment. Commitment. That's a word that this generation doesn't like. You know they don't. They don't want to get married. They want to shack out together. No! I don't want to go to church and have to hear the old preacher saying all those things. I want my own life. I want to do what I want to do. Okay? But I know the Lord. Don't worry about me. Like Brother Need said in that article, Rick, he said in a prison there was one of the guards came up and talking to another prisoner, and he said, saying, hey, I'm a Christian. I know the Lord. Yes, sir. You guys aren't the only ones that know the Lord here in prison. I know the Lord. Next place he went to, he cussed the guy out. Doesn't that show evidence that we really are Christians? At the moment you talk about it, you say you know the Lord and you love the Lord, next little jail spot, he cusses the prisoner out. Is there any of that going on, so-called Christianity today? Commitment. Commitment. Say, I commit my life to the Lord Jesus. Yeah, to my wife or to my husband, yes. But I commit my life to the Lord Jesus. I want to do what he says here in his farewell speech to the disciples. He said, if you're my friends, you'll do whatever I command you. And then verse 15, which is really for our motto. We didn't get it up here at the scripture. For our motto. Jesus, what a friend. For 2010. Yes. That's a good model that was chosen. But verse 15, there it is. He's saying to them, henceforth, from now on, you're going to make some changes, Lord? Yes, and from now on, I call you not servants. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, for I have called you friends. There we are. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. That is a terrific passage. I challenge you to break that one down if you think you can understand Scripture. That is a great passage. He said, I make some changes. I'm about to leave, and I'm going to die, in 3 days I'll arise again. And he said, but I want to tell you something. I'm changing the matter. What are you going to change? He said, no longer am I going to call you servants. Well, what's wrong with being a servant? That's the word, it means doulos. That means slave. Ah, yeah, or a bondsman. Or a bondman. So he said, well, I don't understand that. How could the Lord call them servants or doulos or slaves or bondmen? What does that mean? He said, well, in his day, the rabbis had followers. And they referred to all of their followers, and this is verse 15, they referred to all their followers as doulos, or servants, or slaves. Anybody who would follow some particular person was a servant, and the word is servant, or slave, or a bondman. He said, no longer am I going to use that kind of talk with us. He said, I'm not going to call you slaves, or bondmen, or servants. He says, look at it, verse 15, how powerful. For he says, the proof of the matter is, you know, a slave doesn't know what his master does. In the days when you had slaves, you could say, hey, Pete, come here once. Now I want you to know we're going to do this and we're going to do that, and I want to do this and put that in and then do this and do that. Do you understand that, Pete? You're my slave. They didn't do that. Didn't even refer to them. They were just living tools. They'd say, get that hoe and go out there and hoe the corn. Didn't give me a reason. Just go do it. He said, that's going to change. Because that isn't the way I want to treat you. He said, I don't want to treat you that way. You don't treat one another that way. The evidence that you love me, you don't treat one another in that fashion. What? You treat them, I have called you friends. No longer servants, but friends. Oh, friends. Friends. What a friend we have in Jesus. Friends. I like to think about that a little bit. Something's going to happen. Well, what's going to happen? Read the rest of this verse, please. All right. But I have called you friends, verse 15. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. All things. Wow. You're going to treat me like a slave, a servant? No, I'm going to tell you all things that the Father's told me. How are you going to do that, Lord? I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit, my Holy Ghost, the Holy Guest, and He'll teach you all things. He'll comfort you. It is going to be a different day. We're not back in those old days. We're in a day where we have the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will teach us and comfort us and help us. What a change. Because He said, all that my Father has said, that I have heard of my Father. He said, going to be made known unto you. Now, wait a minute. Who are we? How many Chinese know about you? Probably not one. Of all the millions of people in the world, do they know you? You're a nobody. No, come on. But through Christ, we are somebodies. And we have, and I tell you, that verse, I don't know if I'm able to expound it. And that is that we have all the revelation. You say, well, that guy's got degrees all over the place. He's a wonderful man. No, you got more than that. Because all things that I have heard of my Father, He said, I have made known unto you. I tell you, there is a such thing as giving of revelations. And that's why we need to study the Word of God with the help of the Spirit of God. You'll know things that people could never get in any institution, a college or a university. You are really special. And He says, I'll never forsake you. I mean, I put you right up there that you have been revealed and you know so many things. Do I really know so many things? He said, listen, you apply yourself, and as you apply yourself to your hobby, apply that much and more to me. And He said, and you study the Word of God. He said, I'll keep telling you things and reveal to you things that you won't believe. Boy, I look for that day. You know verse 16, that last part? Put some of this stuff together and you'll find that we're not talking Boy Scout stuff or Mickey Mouse stuff here this morning. What do you mean? You know, if we understand this and we have revealed these things from God that the Father wants us to know, that we actually can practice, that is at the last part of verse 16, I hope to Wednesday night, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you, or he gives it you. Now, you may be taken up, if you've been a Christian, you've been taken up with these so-called healers. You have been. Said, man, I've got some ailments that I think it'd be nice if I could get rid of them. And you may even go visit one. I know some folk that visit them. I want to tell you something. This farewell message of our Lord Jesus, and he could not tell anything that was anywhere near that wasn't true. He's saying to us, if there's evidence of real love, you love me, and I love you, and we're friends, and you love one another, and you obey what I tell you to do, I'm going to tell you right to your face that when you walk up and there's a prayer and God, there's a need, and the Spirit of God says, go ahead and pray. You say, Spirit of God says that? Sure. In your conscience, you can't help it. He said, does God speak to you? He speaks to one's conscience. We are spirit, we are souls, and we are physical, or we are bodies. And he still operates by the realm of the Spirit. He can speak to our hearts using the Word of God. Check it out with this book. And when he lays something on your heart, you say, I don't believe that's going to be possible. You go ahead and pray. Pray for his will. You might be surprised what he'll do. Because he said, I have given you a revelation of the things of the Father. And you are special. Oh, I don't know anything. You don't know anything? No, I can't do it. Whoa, wait a minute. You know the Lord? Yeah, I love him, and I give him first place in my life. Then I want to tell you something, friends. You're trying to obey him, and you haven't arrived, and you say, I've been there, done that. I've been there, done that. I don't have to pay attention to that. No, no, you're too cocky. You need to go down a peg. You need to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I have not. I want to. And he says, I will do this. A time is coming. He said, I'll not no longer be referred to as a servant, but friends. You're my friend. I'm your friend, Lord. He said, good. You know the Father, what the Father told me? Yes. He said, I'm telling you, I'll tell you all things. Now be careful. There are a lot of voices out there. I've said this before. And I say it again because I don't know much about it. There's all kinds of voices out there. You need to have a receiver. But you better have the receiver based upon the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Because the devil can put you in a trap. Like a man said to me, in fact, he was a deacon. And we were trying to solve a problem. And the deacon says, well, I want to tell you something. God told me that we are supposed to do this. I can't understand that. Well, God told me. Yeah? I said, well, that's contrary to the Word of God. I don't care, God told me. Now, wait a minute. If that's contrary to the Word of God, that didn't come from God. He doesn't contradict himself. I don't care if you're a deacon or a preacher or whoever you are. You're an old gray head. I don't care who you are. Male or female, if it contrary to the Word of God, it's not God's will. And you just had to put it down like that. Even though he's a preacher or deacon, I don't care what he is. Check it out with the Word of God. And I like this verse 16. What about it? You need to select your friends. Evidence that you are a real Christian, you select your friends. Oh, I don't know why. Listen. He said, You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. That's talking about election. I like to get into that. I love that subject, unlimited atonement. Limited atonement, particular redemption, great truths. And it means that. I've chosen you. He said, you haven't chosen me. Well, I took Jesus as my Savior. Yeah, that's fine. But he's the one that searched you out, and he laid the guilt upon you and brought conviction upon you. And sure, you ratified it. But he's the one. He's chosen you before the foundation of the world. That is tremendous. So what? If you are a Christian, you're selective. Selective. Sure, you have discrimination. You ought to give preference to the people of God. Oh, I want to be out there and be a friend to everybody out there. Fine. But remember God's people. be spiritually nosy. Oh, no. Yes. How's my brother doing? How's my sister doing? Talk to each other. Love one another. Increase your love for another. But look at verse 16. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. And he says, I've ordained you. I've appointed you. What do you mean, appointed me? I have appointed you for what? That I've appointed you, I've commissioned you to what? That you go and you bring forth fruit. Now remember, the chapter is Christ is the vine, he's the roots, the Christians are the branches, and the branches are to produce fruit, and there may be pruning and all that. He said, listen, I've appointed you that you should go. And you bring forth fruit. Now we could go to Ephesians 5 and read about the fruit of the Spirit. But it involves more than that. And that your fruit should remain, that is, last. Not just fly away. And then that passage, whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it. So you've been given some marching orders, dear Christian. I don't know that I've been given any marching orders. Well, you haven't read what the Lord says to his friends. He says, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. Okay. But I've done something. I've commissioned you, appointed you. What? That you should go. G-O, 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 G-O. Oh, they ought to just come. No, you go. And what do you go? And what do? And you bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain, that is lasting fruit. Boy, looks like there's marching orders. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, excuse me. Where do you get that? I've ordained you, appointed you that you should go. And you bring forth fruit. And that this fruit should remain a lasting fruit, not something that will pass away and perish. Boy, Lord, this is tremendous. And then he said, I want to give you that comfort that whatever you ask in my Father's name, I'm going to do it. I would like to just nail right on a little more of that. You mean just give a little track is a fruit, that'd be a fruit-bearing thing to do? Yeah. Yeah, a little track. Yeah. Go. You want fruit? You want people to come know the Lord? You want your family to be saved? Grandchildren, great-grandchildren, neighbors? Yeah. But they need to hear the Word of God. They see me. They'll see some inconsistencies. Like that missionary. I told you about that missionary. He went to China years ago. And Harry Ironside, pastor of Moody Bible Church and Moody Bible Institute, told about this story. And he told it. The missionary told him. He said he went to this country. They needed a Bible in their language. And so what did he do? Like missionaries do. He found a scholarly fellow who could translate it from the English to the Chinese. And they sat down. He paid this. He was a Confucianist. And he paid him, scholarly guy. And he finished up whatever they were doing. The missionary thought he ought to say something to him about knowing the Lord. I may not have it precisely as Harry Ironside told it, but he said to the Confucianist, the scholarly fellow, he said, you know, you've been a real good help. And he said, I appreciate it so much that we've been able now to put this Bible in the language of the Chinese. And he said, but I wanted to ask you, you ever think about being a Christian? He said, yeah, I really have. He said, I really think there's something to it. But he said, if I'd see one, he said, I believe I could believe it if I'd see one. Now, put yourself behind the desk of the missionary. He's sitting there, and the Confucianist man says, if I would see one, if I'd meet one, I would believe it. And the missionary said, well, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. And the Confucianist scholar said, well, he said, I didn't know that. He said, I hear you criticize other Christians. And he says, if that salary check doesn't come in, you get all upset. And the missionary started to cry because he did love the Lord. And the story ended. He said, well, I'm sorry. And he walked out. That is the Confucianist scholarly fellow. I've often said to us, if they accuse us of being Christians, friends, could they find enough evidence in the Lycoming County Court to prove that we really are Christians? They say, well, you go to church. A lot of people go to church. Well, I give money. Well, a lot of people give money. Well, I attend. Well, a lot of people attend. A lot of religious people. Could they find enough evidence to accuse you of being a real Christian? Take the matter of loving. I hope you're not friendless. Friendlessness is not just a story this morning. I hope you realize that you've messed up with the commandments. Hope you realize you've messed up. You're a sinner, and I'm a sinner. Hope you realize that as sinners, we need to know Christ. I hope you realize you need to know Christ savingly. You believe in the Lord Jesus. That is with your whole heart. You believe he died in your place, took your punishment, took your hell at the cross. Yes. You believe he was raised from the dead the third day?
Yes.
Do you believe he lives now? Who? The Lord Jesus is very much alive because he came back and he proved it to his disciples. He's alive. We have a living Savior. He's not on the cross hanging someplace. He's off of the cross and he's at the right hand of God making intercession for us. We got a living Savior. Have you committed yourself to him, your life? When you said to your loved one, you know, you take this person to be your lawful wedded husband, wife, till death do you part? He said, yeah, till death do I part. Have you done that to the Lord Jesus? Are your lives showing evidence of a new life? This is a great thing, to be a friend of Jesus. He is our friend, but to be his friend is something else. Oh, there's a hymn that I want us to close with. Let's sing this hymn. And I've done this. I've used this hymn, and I'm going to have Brother Bob play a tune that we do know. The tune is Let Us Love and Sing and Wonder, and it's hymn number 142, and the message is great. That is, there's one there is, the one there is above all others. That's speaking about the Lord Jesus. It's hymn number 142, and you know the tune. Will you sing with understanding with me, please? Father, take the words this morning, especially we are thinking of the Word of God, not the words of the preacher, but the Word of God. May it speak to our hearts, and may we desire this morning your will in our lives, that we might know you savingly, personally, intimately, that mystically way, and to have our sins forgiven because of Christ's work at the cross. Help us, our Father, to commit ourselves and give us faith and give us salvation. Our Father, we ask that you would look upon us even again as a matter of being fruit bearers. Help us to bear fruit that be lasting and that it will count for eternity. And now grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever through Christ. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.